After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast, recording this on a Monday night after the Sacramento Kings and Kings fans saw some history made at Golden 1 Center. The Sixers were in town. No Joel Embiid, but they were just coming off a nice win against the Clippers yesterday. Tyrese Maxey came out swinging, but the Kings held him in check in the second half. But the headline tonight is Domantas Sabonis, who made history. The most consecutive double-doubles since the NBA-ABA merger, surpassing Kevin Love with 54 straight double-doubles. But that wasn't all. He also had his 25th triple-double, only the fifth player in NBA history to ever do that. And the Sacramento Kings held another opponent under 100 points for the fourth time in 9 games. Sacramento is now a season-best 13 games above 500 after this 108-96 victory. And oh, by the way,
what?
For only the 10th time in 39 years, they have secured a winning season. 8 under Rick Adelman, and the last 2 under Mike Brown.
Yes.
Hey, I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. This podcast presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Check out TrustNorthwest.com. How you doing, Mo?
So good. Fogged in, which is just means that it was a big win. Big way to start the week. Ugh.
And a big week. And some drama around the NBA tonight. The Suns lose to the Spurs.
With no Wemby.
Shout out Spurs tonight. Let's give some love to the Spurs tonight.
And Suns were pretty much healthy.
Yes, Nurkic left that game with an ankle, but they dropped to 8th. The Kings up at 6, yes. Tied with Dallas. The Clippers lost again. They've dropped to 5th. Sacramento 2 games behind the Clippers and the Pelicans. This is a massive week with Dallas looming Tuesday and Friday in Sacramento. Can't wait. All right, Morgan. Kings beat the Sixers 108-96. Kind of one of those, like, it was a boring game. We haven't had many, like, boring games. I know wins aren't technically boring, but do you know what I mean by that? It didn't really feel stressful, and the Kings handled business tonight.
Yeah, no, and I get what you're saying, but at the same time, like, with that first quarter and the way that Tyrese Maxey started the game, I was like, ah, shit. He had the 19 first points for the Sixers, right? And no one else has scored. Paul Reed finally scored at the basket, had a dunk, whatever. But the 19 first points for the Sixers was Tyrese Maxey just going off. And I was like, okay, this is what we're going to see. Even though it was still a close game, obviously. The Kings were still up for most of that. But it was like, how are you going to let this one guy go off? And then what's going to happen next? The Kings, the in-game adjustments that were being made in this game were fantastic.
I think part of that was just them guarding him better, denying him. Davion Mitchell played amazing. And there's so much talk with Davion. It's about his defense and his ability to play good on-ball defense. He did that tonight, got some help from his teammates. The Kings communicated well again defensively. But Davion also got it going offensively tonight. 18 points off the bench. Yeah, Maxey was unbelievable early. First of all, he's a great young player. And he is so fast. His ability to finish with contact, with arms around him, hitting step back jumpers, finding mismatches, which he tried to do at times tonight. But in that second half, the Kings held him in check. He had 26 points at the half. 26 points. He finished with 29. He was one of three in the second half.
Love it. Love it.
So life was much more challenging. Each and every game, we've been spending time, Morgan, talking about the Kings' defense, and it's dramatically better now. It seems like these guys are embracing being physical. I think they're kind of vibing off playing and winning this way, where in the past, if the Kings shot 44% in the game and 26% from three, they'd lose.
Everything would look bad. And that's it, Deuce. It was the fact that, you know, I think we've talked about this before, maybe in the beginning of the season, is, you know, this Kings team, how can they find a way to make in-game adjustments? Especially when we saw the lulls, you know, the big runs teams would go on and then they wouldn't respond or answer back. And it felt like Tyrese Maxey was playing a certain style of basketball and the Kings were like, oh, hey, let's make this adjustment, and this will change things up. And a few of the adjustments that were made was the way that they started blitzing Tyrese Maxey, making his life a little bit more difficult, making him to make a quicker decision. The other thing was Davion Mitchell, like you said, and we've talked about this with Davion so many times, so many players in this league have the size advantage over him, can shoot over him. They see a shorty and they're like, cool, I'm good. But Davion Mitchell, with his activity, disrupted Tyrese Maxey's game so he couldn't even get where he wanted, what he wanted. And it made all of the difference in this entire game.
For someone like Maxey, it's just trying to make him work. And it's trying to make him work defensively too. I was really interested to see that Nick Nurse decided to have him check Keegan Murray at times in this game. I'm like, really? Keegan Murray, we talk about the start that Tyrese Maxey got off to in that first quarter. Keegan Murray was awesome in the first quarter Morgan. He came out aggressive. Keegan on the night finished with 23 points. He got up 20 shots. 20 shots. He was 3 of 11 from downtown. Got cooled off a little bit. Also had 4 assists, 3 rebounds. Played some great defense again. At the end of the first, he had 17 points.
The 20 shots, he was being so aggressive. And he was being efficient, 9 of 20. You know, you love to see that, but you love seeing him knock down some of his threes. He was 3 of 11. But I felt like the way that he started attacking the basket, started attacking the paint, curling off of Domas perfectly, off those DHOs, understanding, I'm going to be a score-first person. I'm going to be a threat. Because if you don't pose as a threat, then you're just one less person on the offensive end that the defense has to worry about. And tonight, they had to worry about Keegan Murray. They weren't ready for Keegan Murray.
He was great, and it makes a world of difference, like you said, when he is aggressive offensively. I think there are so many times we have seen him throughout his first 2 years where he gets the ball, his first thought is to give it up.
Yes, yes.
And I don't like that mindset. It's like, yeah, be a team guy, but I want you at 6'8", 6'9", you've added to your frame, you've got shooting ability, you've shown the ability to put the ball on the floor, you still got to work on your handles and all that going forward, but you have the ability to be aggressive. I mean, he's got that step back mid-range shot he likes. He's got the three-point shot. He gets dunks now. You have to be a threat with the ball. Look to score Keegan Murray. And the fact that he got up 20 shots tonight was one of my favorite stats of the game.
And that's where you want to see going forward, right? And especially these are the shots that this team is looking for. But it's like what Keegan Murray is looking for. And when Keegan Murray is looking for something, this game could have been much closer if Keegan decided, it wasn't even just about, you know, scoring 23 points, but if Keegan decided not to be a threat, I just think all around the board, you would see different numbers for everybody, because how we saw the Sixers play defensively against the Clippers yesterday, I was like, oh, they're going to be able to slow down everybody. They're going to find a way to stop De'Aaron, Keegan, Monk, Domas, whatever they're going to have to do. But they didn't. Instead, because you had so many guys willing to be confident out there on the offensive end.
That was great to see. And Keegan still does what he does defensively. He's been the most consistent defender for the Kings this year. And the Kings defense holds another team under 100 points. I know it's a shorthanded team, but I watched a Sixers team yesterday. Kelly Oubre didn't play either. Tonight, we should acknowledge that.
He was knocking down shots yesterday and everything.
But they were clicking against the Clippers.
Yes.
I've got questions about the Clippers, just so you know. I'm out. Anyway, they looked awesome. They were flying everywhere defensively. They were knocking down shots. They hit like a season high in threes in that game. So you can't take a team like that lightly, especially when you have an explosive scorer like Tyrese Maxey. And Tobias Harris has given the Kings fits over the years, especially this year. He was 5 of 15 in this game with just 12 points. But defensively, Morgan, Keon Ellis again, man. I mean, he makes shit happen. De'Aaron Fox playing good defense. Davion, Sacramento, since the All-Star break, is second in the NBA in deflections.
Give me that.
Tonight, they had 15 as a team. De'Aaron Fox had 5 deflections in this game. Malik Monk had 3 deflections. You give a couple of to Keegan Murray as well. These guys were so active defensively. And I think to see that type of jump where they were before the break was nowhere near second in the NBA. They've taken a big jump.
And the jump is because of a different focus. It's a different mentality. It's not like, oh, are they just trying harder? What's going on? No, they've shifted something with their mindset and their technique and the way that they angle themselves, the way that they do everything. I mean, you see De'Aaron Fox, just his instincts alone, understanding where when someone is looking one way and going, okay, they're probably going to pass that way, using their eyes as a weapon against that offensive player and getting their hands in that passing lane. You're just seeing them see the game different, maybe at a slower pace for them on the defensive end because they are locked in. The efforts there, it looks amazing.
Keon tonight had 5 points. He got into some foul trouble tonight. He ends up only playing 24 minutes, but I felt like some of the fouls are kind of cheapy. He battled tonight. I love he was doing some John.
Dude, it was, oh, the John. He brings the campaign. The campaign situation when he went down on the ground and campaign tried like jumping on it. And like Keon like hit him like, what the shit are you doing? Like, get off me. And then it was a jump ball. But I'm so with you. Just Keon does a great job of making himself belong. And usually you don't feel that identity from some of these guys that have the journey that Keon has, or sometimes it's they rely on a certain chip on their shoulder or whatever. Keon stays so under control, and that's why when he does have that edge, I'm like, hell yeah. You love to see that from a player. He was doing great things. He got some ticky-tack bullshit calls too.
Morgan, if I would have told you before the season that in March the Kings on the season would be 14th in defensive rating, would you sign up?
You're
damn right.
I would be like, where are they in the Western Conference? I mean, the West, they must be great.
The jump is crazy. They are 14th on the season in defensive rating.
That's awesome.
That's a big jump for the group that was 24th last year. Since the All-Star break.
Yeah, tell me.
6th in defense.
Oh.
In the month of March.
Oh, don't do this to me.
4th.
Oh,
my. It's trending in the right way, you know, and it's opponent 3-point percentage. You're getting killed on that earlier in the season.
Yeah.
The closeouts have been better. I asked Mike Brown about this before the game, and I'm like, you know, the defensive ratings improved, deflections are up, your opponents are knocking down everything from three. Do you think it's sustainable? And he says he thinks it is. He's not trying to put that type of pressure on them to be like a top 5 team, but he's like, we're doing the things that we weren't doing early. He's like, I've never had a team where I had to teach the fundamentals of closing out properly. And I had to with this team. And this team has learned it. They've embraced it. Keon's impact, De'Aaron embracing things, Keegan Murray, the whole team. And I even talked about this with you earlier, like Domantas, I think last podcast about Domantas Sabonis, you know, I heard JJ Redick and Tim Legler talk about Domas and, hey, you know, can you win if he's anchoring your defense? Uh-huh. And that's always been the rap on Sabonis is, oh, as a defender. And I've never quite understood it. If you put the right pieces around Sabonis, this guy is one of the best defensive rebounders in the game, best rebounders. He works hard. He moves better than he's ever had ever in his career because he's in such great shape. He communicates. It's about having the right defensive pieces around him and being able to just defend the ball.
Well, when you're the second line of defense, you know, and you're at the rim, you're expected to just block, 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 especially if you have a shitty perimeter defense, right? That's not his role in this league. You know, his body type is just not going to be that. So
it's not long.
He's just not long. Like I even say, like he has the T-Rex arms, right? So, but he stays vertical and knows how to use his strength. And now he even knows how to use it more. But now, because he's worked on his body so much, he can also come out on guys. He came out on Paolo Banchero and he was moving from side to side laterally. And you don't feel nervous about it. You're just like, oh, this man's meant to move. And then on top of that, it's just like you said, the perimeter defense taking a leap from De'Aaron Fox to Keon Ellis. So even if it does, if people do get by him, I saw this other play that I was breaking down by deflections. Davion Mitchell lost Joe Ingles, just trailed behind him. Domas comes up to help. And what does Domas do? It's not a block. It's a deflection. And he completely just gets this in the passing lane, taps the ball to someone who pushes up the floor, fast break point. And my point is that defensive play alone was like, what gave the Kings two extra points in that entire situation?
A great example of that was in this game when he went vertical and took a shot to the nuts, right? And Mike Brown ended up challenging that play. They won the challenge, but KJ Martin led with his knee, but Sabonis was straight up.
Yep.
And he did the right thing. The other stat that blew my mind in the month of March, we talk about their deflections. Fox is leading the team in deflections. He's also second in the NBA, but in the month of March, he's close to four deflections a game. Then you've got Keon Ellis, who's 3.5 deflections a game, doing that in fewer minutes. And Sabonis is at nearly three deflections a game.
Your center.
Yes.
Your center. And this isn't, again, this isn't just like being down at the basket and deflecting whenever he can. This is him getting people who come into the lane and figuring a way to get his hands in the passing lane. Again, instincts, basketball IQ.
Yeah, this jump defensively, I don't think anyone would have predicted. And, you know, you wonder, okay, is it sustainable? I mean,
why wouldn't it be?
If you stay locked in, there's going to be some matchups that aren't good for this team. We've seen some of the bad matches, but this is what's going to be fun, the final 11 games, some of the tests that lie ahead. How's this defense look against the Celtics coming up? Again, against the Suns again. How's this defense look against the Pelicans playing some great basketball. Yeah. You're going to be tested. But I'll tell you, this style of play to me is more sustainable than the style that they had last year where it was like, hey, we're just trying to outscore everybody.
Outrun.
I think this Kings team is still capable of being a really, really, really good offensive team. They've got the weapons around them. But, you know, it's a little different right now without Trey Lyles spreading the floor. Mm-hmm. Even though Kevin Huerter has had a down year, he's a threat to spread the floor.
Thank you.
Having those guys out, Sasha, that changes things. And they're winning in a different way right now. And it looks pretty damn good. This is their best basketball they played.
And that's the thing, you know, asking is this defense sustainable? If I saw little pieces of this in the beginning of the season and saw some of the shit games that we saw in the beginning of season two, I'd be like, no, probably not. But because we've now seen a stretch of basketball where you started seeing the growth of it and then it was still up and down. Then you saw a stretch of it come together. And then you saw like a dud, you know, or two at Chicago and then Wizards. But you've seen a big enough sample size of this defense and where they can actually take it and what they have grown and learned and done from it that you go, yeah, this can be real. Like, believe your eyes and what you see. But it's going to keep taking everyone. And I think everyone buys in and actually believes in this style.
Yeah, we mentioned the 6 in defensive rating since the All-Star break. That's 17 games. The Kings are 11-6 during that stretch. And, you know, you go to March. What's their record in the month of March now? The month of March, Sacramento is 9-4 in the month of March. So it is super encouraging to see how this team is playing right now for the month and since the All-Star break. It's massive. It's absolutely massive. What else should we hit on specifically about tonight?
Turnovers for the Sacramento Kings. I think that's another thing that they just did such a great job of. I mean, we talk about the defensive focus. You just talk about the focus in this, the all-around focus in this game. And they took care of the basketball for the most part. They finished the game with 8 turnovers, right? Like, I'll take that number, and I'll take that number, especially, again, you and I were watching the Sixers take on the Clippers yesterday, and we're like, oh, shit.
This is going to be tough.
This is going to be a game. And really, it kind of maybe shows more to where the Clippers are right now with all their guys even healthy out there playing. But I thought the Sixers were going to come up. This was the last game of their road trip as well. You know, sometimes you don't know what you're going to get, but you saw the defensive effort there right away, the way that they would double down on Domas. And every time that happens, I'm like, get rid of the ball. Quick decisions. Dude. Let's go.
And I felt like he got better with that as the game went on. You know, buckle up. That's what you're going to get, Sabonis. Like, when you get the ball, teams understand how important he is to the Kings. And when he's in the paint, how many times did you see three, four Sixers players collapse on him? Sometimes it would be right when he made the turn toward the basket. They collapse on him. They're swiping down. They're making life challenging for him to pass out. And so he's got to be locked in, and decisive in those moments and be prepared for that, especially when teams are smaller. They're like, they know you're going to try to take advantage inside, so that's how they're going to counter it. And sometimes teams have had success. We've seen the Houston Rockets have success. The Knicks had success.
Yep.
We saw it the other night against the Wizards. They had some success with it. So,
and if you do get to the postseason and make the playoffs, there are going to be postseason teams that have success with this and understand. And so the adjustment that you need to make just as an individual is making sure that you're just making that quick decision, getting rid of the basketball. Doesn't even have to be the best decision, right? But the best decision is not turning the ball over. And what I love is that's kind of what we saw tonight. The ball just being taken care of. They were pushing the pace. I thought they became more decisive, like you said, not only Domas, but the rest of the team as well. And they were like, no, we're attacking the shit out of the paint. Like, let's do this. And not just settling. They did shoot 38 threes, and they made 10 of those, only shooting 26% from three-point land.
Well, and the free throw percentage has been way better. They shot 78.6% at the free throw line tonight, 22 of 28. That's a number that's jumped up dramatically, too. Remember, they were dead last in the NBA most of the season. Now they're like top 10 in free throw percentage, which is big.
Focus.
Sabonis, just on the night before we get into everything he accomplished tonight, he had 11 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. He only took 5 shots, used 3 of 5, and it speaks volumes to what was happening defensively against him.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Yeah. I only took 5 shots out there in this game, but a triple-double. So that's where we go now.
A trip-dub.
Domantas Sabonis makes history.
Amazing.
54 consecutive double-doubles, surpassing Kevin Love's record. It's the most double-doubles since the ABA-NBA merger. I mean, you're going back a long, long time to the mid-70s. That record has stood. Domantas Sabonis does that tonight. And with the triple-double, his 25th, only 5 players in NBA history have ever had 25 triple-doubles in a season. Domantas Sabonis is one of them. I think he is the most underrated and underappreciated star player in the league. And I think the good news is Kings fans see what he does every night since he's come to Sacramento. Mm-hmm. He has helped change the culture. Mm-hmm. He has helped make this a winning team, something we haven't seen a lot of in 39 years of Kings basketball. I admire his toughness, how hard he plays all the time. This guy makes people better. He's a good guy. He plays with an edge. He deserves all the love for this. He didn't make the All-Star team this year. He better make the All-NBA team. But to be honest, I'm not even counting on that at this point. What can you say about what Sabonis has accomplished, not only this year, but as a member of the Kings?
He's special. And, you know, I think you and I, like, we watch a lot of NBA. And what's fun to see is when you want to compare and see what else is special out there. And there are some special players in this league. There are players that see their ups and downs throughout the season. You're like, oh, are they playing good yet? What's going on with them? Blah, blah, blah. Domas Sabonis is doing this every freaking night. It has been so consistent for him. There's been triple doubles this season. I will tell you that even we're going, sometimes we're like, it wasn't his best triple double. There's like maybe two of those that happened this season. Yep. And it's hilarious talking about a triple double that wasn't giving you what you needed. But all these other games, all these consecutive double doubles has led to so much success. And I think that's what I don't understand when he doesn't get the love that he deserves. I go, he's not an asshole. He's a good guy, and he's a team player that everyone seems to like that plays with him or around him, and they are winning games. They're winning games in a very difficult Western Conference. They're winning more games than the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors that get talked about 24/7 all the time by the national media. But Domas Sabonis doesn't get that love. And I don't even think he gives two shits about it, because he just comes to work and he does his job. And how the hell do you not give someone love like that? Well, guess what? That's our jobs and that's what we're going to do. And I want to give him all the love in the world.
He has 67 double-doubles in 71 games.
Give me that.
And you're right. You know, I don't like spending... We spent so much time complaining about him not getting love in this league that I'm like, I'm not trying to make it about that tonight.
No.
About acknowledging what he's accomplished. And I think ultimately the one way you get people to wake up is by winning. You win, you have playoff success, then he'll start getting the love that he deserves. But, I mean, the guy's been doing it for a long time in this league now. And for him to come to an organization that has been a perennial loser, a joke, one of the more embarrassing teams in sports, and helps shift that. And he connects with the fan base. The fans dig him. It's fun. It actually kind of goes perfect for Kings fans, because Kings fans have always felt disrespected. They always have a chip on their shoulder as a small market. We're born and raised in Sacramento. We know how this works. And so he's kind of getting the same thing that we've all experienced in Sacramento.
Yeah.
I'm happy for him. Before we continue on, let's hear what Sabonis had to say to you and Drapes after the game.
Something like that. What's the approach night in and night out to get to this point?
Just, you know, making myself available for my teammates to play every game, and coming out here and playing hard. You know, my teammates make it easy for me, and I just try and go out there and do my job.
Yeah, of course he just says, teammates. Well, after the game, De'Aaron Fox talked to the G-man, Gary Gerald, and here's what he had to say about Domas Sabonis.
He's out there playing hard, man. We came back from All-Star break, and he had, like, food poisoning or something. And we were originally going to, like, we were preparing to play without him. And then he came in on the day of the game. He's like, I'm playing. He's like, there's no way I'm sitting out. So, I mean, just his toughness. And he wants to be one of those guys that play all 82 games. He goes out there and he doesn't take a possession off. He plays hard both offensively, and he's been great for us defensively this year. I think people haven't taken notice because he's in Sacramento. But, I mean, he loves it here, man. He comes out here. He plays for the city. He plays for the name on the front and obviously his name on the back of his jersey. But he comes out there. He does whatever it takes to win. If it's putting the ball in the basket, if it's getting a rebound, if it's getting a stop, if it's being able to get somebody open with not even passing the ball. Like, it's things that don't even go into the stat sheet. If it's, you know, blitzing, he's setting a screen to get somebody open. Like, he does whatever it takes to win a game.
Yes. Yes. I mean, that's exactly what I was saying, even on that deflection that he had on Joe Ingles the other night. Yeah. It wasn't just, oh, I'm going to get my hands up in this passing lane and hopefully make things happen. He was so smart with it. He understood not only that he had it, he used one of the hands to tip the ball perfectly to, like, Keon Ellis to push it up the floor on this defensive set. He has just seen something before it even happens. All the blitzes, all the different and that's why it is so funny when his decision-making could be slow sometimes when he gets the ball and then he gets triple teamed. But I also do sometimes believe that he believes, I can power through this shit. I don't care who's in front of me. And we've seen it happen. We've seen him get hit in the face 15 times in a game. And sometimes I'm like, is he really getting hit? Look at his face at the end of the game. Look at his face at the end of a game. Blood, bash, bumps everywhere.
Will Z had some great numbers about Sabonis' numbers during this streak. On the season, it's been crazy, right? But during this 54 consecutive double-double streak that he accomplished tonight in Sacramento, he's averaging 22.2 points per game, 14.4 rebounds, 8.7 assists, on 61% shooting. He doesn't take a lot of threes, but 40% from three.
Efficient, making his teammates better. And he's the type of guy that always talks about his teammates whenever you try to talk about him. He hates talking about himself. But there's something very genuine about it. It's not this, just got to talk about my team because that's the greatest thing I can do. It's like, no, he truly understands and believes how his teammates make him better. For example, you and I were talking about how this defense has been better and why he can anchor this defense. And it's because the perimeter defense is getting better with even just adding Keon there. And he truly, I believe, understands that's what's making him even a better defender.
And the Kings, in my opinion, long-term are going to still have to upgrade around to be a consistent defensive team. But based on the pieces they have now, there's no reason why they can't be a good team defensive team. And we're seeing that on full display. Yep. He's a big part of it. His ability, like you said, deflections, but be vertical. He's tough. I mean, the rebounding thing too doesn't get talked about. I feel like we go, oh, defensive rebounding. Yeah, whatever. It's like, no, that's part of defense, is completing a position. Completing a possession by securing a rebound.
Yep.
That's part of
ending
defense.
The play. And he's one of the best at it in the league. It's, yeah, I think sometimes when we talk like that, I'm passionate about talking about it because I know sometimes we talk about the disrespect, the hate. I don't really give a shit. I just more like as a basketball fan, I love being able to push this out there and get so excited about it, especially because Sacramento hasn't seen things like this for that long and now consistently.
Well, he averages the most offensive rebounds in the league. There's no player who averages more than 10 except Domantas Sabonis. 10.2 defensive rebounds per game.
My God.
On the season, he's averaging 13.7. That's number one in the NBA.
No way.
And I mean, if you start going to like the total stuff, I mean, since I'm going to double check this number, Morgan, because remember this, I told you about this earlier about his assists and rebounding since the start of the year. Let's just double check this. It might have dipped, but
okay.
I just want to see where he lies right now. Since January 1st, Sabonis has the most rebounds in the NBA. And the most assists in the NBA.
So since 2024.
Yes, since January 1st. We're talking about 40 games. Domantas Sabonis has the most rebounds in the NBA.
And assists.
And the most assists in the NBA.
Who's right under him, just to give people an idea?
So he has 357 assists since the start of 2024. Next, we got James Harden. 339, Luka 333. Luka's missed some games, though. He's missed games over that time. But you get the point. I mean, Jokic at 317.
You guys.
I mean, so it's not a Sacramento thing where it's like, oh, they all love this guy. Sabonis. It's not a stat pattern thing. The guy plays hard. I know we have NBA fans around the world who watch our podcast. We appreciate you. We appreciate everyone hanging out with us. Hit the thumbs up and subscribe.
Thank you.
Just if next time you watch a game, or if you're going back and watching a Kings game, just watch Sabonis the whole time. Like, just focus on him.
That's fair.
Even when he doesn't have the ball.
Yeah.
Orchestrating, fighting for rebounds, playing with physicality. It's fun. What he does on both ends, because I think you would appreciate him more. Does he have limitations? Yes. No one's saying he's a perfect player. But he does so much good out there that I don't think gets enough love. So
yeah, I think especially for so many, like, basketball, not even a basketball purist, because you want your big to do what traditional bigs could do. You know, you look at like a Rudy Gobert or whatever, if you're a basketball purist, but if you're just someone who's obsessed with the game and you love the way that the game evolves and only gets better, it's the little things. It's your center being able to corral a rebound and push it up the floor, not even having to outlet it to a point guard and finding the fastest way up the floor is with a pass, but with Domas and a push dribble ahead while some of the fastest people in the league are running right by his side, it has created so much success and a lot of fun basketball. So, yeah, a lot of special basketball being played by this man, and the numbers are showing it left and right, breaking records, all the things.
Someone watching us from New Zealand right now, David, says, no disrespect to Domas, but without winning a championship under his belt, in no way in hell he's better than Chris Webber. Stop that right now. People are comparing Webber to him.
We're not.
Well, look, Webber's a Hall of Famer. Yeah, Webber's there's no doubt. Guy. But just it doesn't have to be a ring either. I mean, Sabonis still has years left in the NBA. Also, Chris Webber did not win a ring here either. So that's something that we should acknowledge for sure. Battle Rep says, more assists than every point guard in the league since January 1st is crazy.
Yeah.
Alexis says, he has limitations, but show me a player who doesn't. Exactly.
That's such a great point right there. I mean, and I think when we talk about anyone, right, it's, you know, so, and I don't want to get into this argument or this debate at all, but so there's so many people who talk about Tyrese Halliburton,
yeah,
especially this year and especially what he was doing at the beginning of this year on the offensive end. I mean, you watch even his game yesterday and what he's not capable of doing on the defensive end just doesn't get – nobody talks about it. And I'm fine with that. He's a great guy, all the things. But I think if you are truly into this game, you better be pointing out his flaws if you're pointing out that he's the next up-and-coming star as well.
Who is your Rock and Soul player of the game? Of course, it's this guy.
Hey!
Domantas Sabonis, our Rock and Soul player of the game. If you're in Sacramento, you gotta go check out Rock and Soul Diner, just 6 blocks away from Golden 1 Center. Go there during a game. Go there after a game. And you get hooked up.
I love Rock and Soul Diner. You can get breakfast all day. I know so many people are like, wait, I'm always looking for a place to get breakfast all day. There's no place like it. Yeah, Rock and Soul Diner does that. And like Deuce said, during Kings game, you can get 25% off appetizers, 25% off drinks if you just go watch the game there.
Hell yeah. Domantas Sabonis.
Mm.
Moment of the night. I think it's simple. Sharif Jeweler's moment of the night. Domantas Sabonis securing the double-double and the triple-double. That's it.
Yeah.
Unless you have another one. I just a side note that I did like as a longtime Kings fan.
What?
Bobby Jackson getting a video tribute. We got to see Bobby Jackson before the game.
I love Bobby.
Bobby Jackson, one of my favorite players growing up, but then getting to know him later, he is just one a gem. And I'm sure there are people, fans who have met him over the years. He is as real as they come. Of course, he's an assistant with the Sixers.
Yeah, I mean, and he deserves all the success that he keeps seeing and all the roles that he keeps getting as NBA assistant coach. You know, when he was the Stockton Kings head coach, just what he created, the type of culture, his basketball knowledge, and just, like you said, all around great human being.
Of course, we're also presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Check out TrustNorthwest.com. Let me try it again. We're also presented tonight by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Check out TrustNorthwestExteriors.com, Morgan.
Yeah, you definitely should. Does your house kind of look, I don't know, ugly from the outside? Maybe you should look at your windows, because that's probably what it is. Truly, it was something that changed my life forever, not just because it made me save money, but also it made my house look 20 times better, and I didn't even understand that's what I was missing.
Well, sing it with me, Morgan.
Give me a hell yeah.
Wrong one. Sing it with me, Morgan.
Simply the best, Trust Northwest.
Good job.
Any other thoughts on this game?
down the line.
Let's go over a couple of things real fast.
Yeah, what else you got?
De'Aaron Fox, 23 points in this one. He also had 8 rebounds, 6 assists. Some of his passes lately have been Incredible.
Was there one to Davion that it was cutting or whoever? Yeah. That bounce pass and you're slicing through people. I was like, yes, please. Some sexy basketball. Yes.
He was 8 of 18, 2 of 6 from downtown, but he's 5 of 6 at the free throw line. We mentioned Sabonis. Keegan Murray had that great start, finished with 23 points in the game. Off the bench, Malik Monk, after going 0 for 11, he had 11 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, 4 of 11 shooting. He missed all 5 of his 3-pointers. 3-point shooting was not good for Sacramento tonight. Just 10 of 38. Crazy enough, the guy with the best 3-point percentage tonight was Davion Mitchell, who was 3 of 4 from downtown. He had 18 points, 6 of 9 shooting, some great finishes. He had that one really tough one over Paul Reed that was incredible, too. He was awesome in this game. I thought he really provided a spark. I thought Alex Len had some nice moments again. How about some of his blocks?
Dude,
he is having some nasty blocks, it seems like, every single game.
Yeah, and Tristy Rodriguez with NBC asked Mike Brown a little bit about Alex Len before the game. Like, hey, you're missing that toughness with Trey Lyles. Like, are you kind of getting that with someone like Alex Len? You know, you don't see him all the time, but when you do see Alex Len get some of these minutes and when he contributes like that with some of these blocks, with some of these big moments in the paint, you go, oh, yeah, you feel that toughness from someone like that.
And it's big. Mm-hmm. It's really big to have that coming off your bench. So I think the other thing that's worth mentioning just in general with the Kings during this stretch is they're doing it shorthanded. You know, Kevin Huerter out, Lyles out, yeah. Sasha out. Sasha seems like he's questionable before every game, but he did not play again in this game. I don't know when he's coming back. We still haven't heard an official word on Kevin Huerter. I don't anticipate him coming. I'm working under the assumption he's not coming back.
That's how I'm working.
And we'll see. But, you know, in some ways, him being out has given Keon this great opportunity. And I think if Kevin ended up coming back, he's off the bench.
Yeah.
I think there's no doubt about it. And his scoring could help. His shooting can help coming off the bench. I think there's so many people that want to shit on this guy this year. And it's been a tough year. There's no doubt. But I thought he was great in January and February. His spacing can still help this team if he were to come back. I'm just not counting on him coming back.
That's fair. But yes, how he posed as a threat, whether he was missing everything or making a few shots, was big. And then there was like those moments that you saw his size actually contributing on the defensive end. Not enough moments, but you know, hopefully it's something that he realizes when he does finally come back, whether it is this year or not, that what is needed from him on both ends of the floor.
Well, up next for the Sacramento Kings, a quick turnaround. Dallas Mavericks come to town. Dallas was in Salt Lake City tonight taking on the Utah Jazz. They did get the win 115-105. The Jazz got off to a really hot start. They were tough in this one. Markkanen had a big night, but Dallas was able to survive. Kyrie had 27 points in the win. Luka, 29 points, 13 assists, 12 rebounds in the game, as they were able to get their 42nd win. Right now, they are tied with the Sacramento Kings record-wise, but the Kings have the tiebreaker. Why? Because Sacramento has beaten them twice this year. Both of those games were in Dallas. So Sacramento, Dallas going head-to-head the next two nights. Tuesday night's a TNT game, exclusive TNT game. These are big games. And you look at the opportunity Sacramento has here. I remember last year when they played against the Mavs twice in a row in Sacramento, Kings split, but it felt like a shift when Sacramento won that last one. This is a chance for them to put some big pressure. One, you could secure the season series with one more win.
Huge.
But also, you win both, you got a two-game lead on them.
You're doing great.
I mean, that's the goal, is you got to get one. You got to get one. But I want both.
Well, of course we want both. But
I think they're better than Dallas.
I do too. And I look at a game like tomorrow. Luka played 41 minutes in tonight's game. So it's a back-to-back for everyone. Luka, I do feel like, is in better shape than we've seen him. And I say that because when he's not in good shape, you just see where it has slowed down in his game. But
he played 41 in this
minutes.
Game.
41
run,
minutes.
Run.
And that's
pace,
it.
Pace.
They're traveling
from Salt Lake. Both teams aren't back-to-backs, but Sacramento, they're at home.
In their own bed.
Drive home, sleep. They're chilling. Most of these guys are at home already. Dallas has got to land in Sacramento.
41 minutes.
They got to get from the airport, get to the hotel. adjust. It's just, that's tough. So Sacramento tomorrow, push, push, push.
That's the key. That's the key. Be decisive. Take care of the basketball. You saw the way that you were focused tonight. Only 8 turnovers. Do the same kind of thing tomorrow. Push the shit out of the ball. Try and slow down Kyrie and Luka.
This was a fun one. Of course, we're on the second night of a back-to-back tomorrow, so more of a condensed one for you guys tonight. We appreciate you. You know we're going to be live again tomorrow night. Make sure to hit the thumbs up and subscribe. We'll do it again, and hopefully there's fog tomorrow. Hopefully we're feeling good. It's a big one, and I can't wait. I think the building is going to have energy. Luka, Kyrie in town.
Yes.
Taking on two teams, battling out two teams, playing some better basketball. Bring it on.
It was a fun Monday night with all of you. So thank you so much for joining us. And I guess we'll see you tomorrow night, too.
We love you, but we gots to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. See ya.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.